I'm going to crank my microphone over here so that I can face my three guests today. They are all promising young musicians who rose to the top of the Western Michigan University Concerto Competition this year, and the 60th annual concerto concert is set for Sunday at 3 o'clock in Miller Auditorium. All three soloists will appear, and I am privileged to chat with all three. They are trumpeter Brent Procius, we have violinist Negar Afazel, and we have soprano Caitlin Borky. Hey guys, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
We're going to go down the line in order of concert program and have you tell us a little bit about yourself. So, Brent, you're first. You go on the program with your trumpet and music of Alfred Desenclos. Looks like a 20th century number for us to start off the program. Brent, so that's basic question. You know, where'd you grow up? How did you get into trumpet? And following it to college, what made you pursue that?
Well, that's a very interesting question. My start was very simple. My mom was a piano teacher. She taught piano lessons, actually, even before she married my father. And she taught me piano starting at the age of five. And I was learning scales and notes and how to place things and stuff, very simple. And I have two older siblings, two brothers. And they both play brass instruments, or they used to play brass instruments, trombone and French horn. And by the time I turned 10, my mom came to me and she said, okay, it's about time that you start your own brass instrument. And I was like, I don't know what to start. What does dad play? And my dad played the trumpet. So I decided, oh, I'll just go in that direction. So it's just a kind of whimsical choice, but ended up being a nice career path for me for there.
So you're kind of easy to get along with.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, what do you want me to play?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I like to be pretty free flowing, not, you know, work well with others is what I try to do. So, but, my dad taught me for 3 weeks. And then after that, he's like, I need to get a real teacher for this kid. He's understanding this stuff really fast. And, started studying with Greg Good, my dad's teacher in college at Cornerstone University, and just he's retired now. But
may I ask what town this was? What state?
Oh yeah, yeah. I grew up in Rockford, Michigan.
Oh, yep. Just so, north of Grand Rapids. Yep. Yeah.
Yep. I was homeschooled, which has allowed me a lot of time for working with piano with my mom and stuff. And
pursuing and your passions.
Yep. Exactly. Yep. Yep. I'm very fortunate for that. So. So as time went on, he taught me through junior high and high school, and I studied at McGill University for about 2 years under Richard Stolzel, who's now the chair of brass there.
Okay, McGill, for yeah. listeners who don't know, that's in Montreal.
That is in Montreal.
Canada, cool.
Yeah, it was a big move. Yeah. Yep. But yeah. After about 2 years, I started to really miss home and stuff, and just kind of wanted to finish my degree out somewhere closer. So I decided to make the change halfway through around summertime and then come here at Western. And I've been here for finishing up my 2 years. I'm going to be here one more year finishing up some general ed requirements. But I've been loving the music scene here. I've been very, very busy and stuff. I applied for the concerto competition last year, and there were a lot of great players and stuff. One of the trombone players in the studio one, so
that's right. So do you study with Scott Thornburg?
I study with
or Scott Cowan.
I study with kind of Scott Cowan, but actually Dr. Robert White.
Oh, he's the, of course.
Yeah, he's yeah. the one who replaced the now passed Steve Jones. So I've been studying with him for these past 2 years, and next year I'm going to take intermittent lessons with Thornburg. So
good. And Dr. White, what an example, because he's still out there as a professional player.
Indeed.
In orchestras, and he knows what kind of preparation it takes.
Indeed. He's actually preparing me for he's preparing me for what's called the International Trumpet Guild competition. It's a conference that's 5 days long, and I've done it many times, just like attending and stuff. And he's preparing me for the orchestral excerpts competition. So with his orchestral insight, it's just really helpful, just to kind of have like a very current mindset.
Many students who come to Western School of Music are who come to study classical music often are tempted over to the dark side with the jazz program that is so. They're always looking for players, and they offer lots of opportunities to improvise and play and just get out there. So I'm wondering if that was a temptation for you during your years here yet.
Oh, it was definitely a temptation, and I gladly took it.
So you are an improviser.
I'm a dual artist, I'd like to say, or at least trying to be. That's the goal.
Do you play with any of the jazz ensembles?
I play with the jazz orchestra. I'm their lead trumpet player, and occasionally I'll play with like the Gold Company, the vocal group. When do they ever have their anniversary show and stuff? They hire and they ask horn players to be a part of their group and stuff. So that's a February concert that happens. So
a well-rounded trumpeter,
Brent Rosius.
So tell us, give us a little introduction to the music you're playing, the concerto that took you to the top of the competition this year. We'll hear a little bit of the first movement.
Okay. Well, I'll try to keep this short. Of the Alfred Desenclos Trumpet Incantation Tren et Danse, as you can tell by the name, a French piece. It was written in the 50s. And it was originally written for trumpet and orchestra, and it's new in age. It's like straddling the line of atonal and tonal music, where there are parts where it sounds very disjunct and it's mostly focusing on rhythm, but when as it goes on, you can definitely tell a melodic theme and harmonic progression that goes through it, and it's really nice, a triple kind of like a just a feel to it. Like the first piece is like 3 minutes long, and then they've got this slow second movement, and the third movement is very obviously flashy and has a nice 5/4 dance feature that focuses with timpani and pizzicato in the strings.
A lot of balance to the piece.
Yeah.
Let's hear the opening of this Alfred Desenclos trumpet. It's not called concerto, but it may as well be. And I'm with trumpeter Brent Rosius, one of the three winners of the university concerto competition. The other two are coming up. They are violinist Negar Afazel and Caitlin Borky, who is a soprano, and we'll be talking about their pieces next. Stay tuned. We just heard a tidbit of the incantation Tren et Danse for trumpet by Alfred Desenclos, and it is the opening concerto on the University Symphony Orchestra's concerto concert, which is Sunday at 3 o'clock. As always, it's a free concert open to all, and there are three soloists featured. Brent Rosius is here in the studio. He's first up on the concert, and next comes Negar Afazel, and we are going to hear her play Tchaikovsky's Violin Concerto in D Major, Opus 35. Not the first movement, not just the second movement, but all three movements. You must be training like an Olympian to get to to play this on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm assuming. Yeah.
So, Negar, tell us about your musical background and what brought you to Western Michigan University.
Well, I originally come from Iran, Tehran, and my parents actually are not musicians, but they're both academics. So my teacher teaches physics in college, and my mom is an editor and writer and an encyclopedia for young people. I cannot even tell you when did I start to love classical music, because it's like kind of something in my unconscious, I guess, because my parents are both like real fans of classical music, so I kind of grew up with that. And then when I was 9, I decided to go to the Tehran Conservatory for Music, and it's like 6 years of just music. Like, it's, you pick your career as a musician since you're 9 or 10, and then you enter there, and then you're supposed to be a performer. And then I decided to enter the Tehran University of Fine Arts in violin performance. I got accepted there, and then I went to Germany for 2 years, and then I went back, and then 2 years again, and then I finished my degree. And then I thought, oh, I really like communication in general. Like, I enjoy talking to people, and obviously through my music as well. And then I was reading about music therapy, which is kind of like a new field. And then I found Western Michigan University, which is among the 5 tops in the country. So
very strong program.
Yes, it is. And then that's why I came to Western Michigan University. And then I met...
You had so many options.
I know. But like, I mean, for music therapy, you know, it's it was just like amazing. The whole program and then facilities.
You,
and
you studied in Europe, you studied in Iran, and, mm-hmm. and here you are in Michigan.
Yes. And I'm enjoying it. Good. And then I met lovely Professor Renata Kinnifick, and she was just like, hey, you should do this. And I mean, she was always pushing me, supporting me. And then after, like last year, I decided to just switch to just performance. And here am I, finishing up my degree this semester.
You know, I'm speaking sort of out of hindsight, but this is a wonderful time in one's life to mm-hmm. devote the time and passion to to this.
Exactly.
Because it will pay off for the rest of your life. Indeed, no matter where your studies take you or your career goes. So, well, congratulations.
Thank you.
On the... on winning the concerto competition.
Thank you.
Let's talk about the Tchaikovsky
a
little bit. Of course, it's such a beloved concerto.
Yes.
What do you feel like you're bringing to it that says this is my mm-hmm. interpretation?
Right. That's what I'm always thinking about, especially in this specific concerto, because it's full of lyricism, poetry, and drive, but at the same time, like, full of difficulties. Like, it's among one of, like, the most difficult pieces written for violin. I mean, back then, during Tchaikovsky time, many violinists actually refused to play it because they said, oh, it's not playable at all. I mean, it's not true now, but I think I started learning this in summer with first movement, obviously, and then... Well, this is a very interesting concerto. Like, you practice it for like 7 hours a day, and the day after that you go back to it and it's gone, because the nature of the passages, the difficult passages, they're different a little bit. It's full of chromaticism and specific way of Tchaikovsky's style, and also you can hear the ballet in it. So you have to kind of mix all the styles and kind of like make audience to follow you, even through all the difficulties. Like, you're dying on the stage to play all of them, but then you have to be able to really catch them.
And they don't stick, so you have to do them again the next day.
Exactly. Actually, they come over and over again, especially, I mean, that beautiful second theme in first movement, or like the third movement, full of dances, like Russian and Slavic folk music. You can hear them, and it's very dancey, and it's like full of joy, you know. It's like really fun to play. For me, I mean, the second movement is just something else, like very beautiful canzonetta, which is like a song, Italian song style, and it's in G minor. It's just totally different. So beautiful. And then the first movement, I feel like everything else, yes, it's hard, but then you got to show what you are doing in the cadenza. I think, to me, it's like a huge cadenza between in the middle of the movement.
So this is where the orchestra fades, and you sing yourself, basically.
Yes, it's just you by yourself alone on the stage. Yeah, and you are actually representing all the themes that you've played already in the passages in different ways, and that's the thing that I think. I mean, I think I'm, like, to my level, I was pretty successful to make it my own. I mean, I feel like I'm not mocking anyone. I mean, obviously, I love Oistrakh, like many other performers, but I'm trying not to mock them. And I try to find, okay, I'm going through this, but I want to find, like, if I'm, like, a singer. I guess, like, singers are, like, best models. Like, you sing. Like, I mean, that's you. You know what I mean? It's, like, your emotions coming out. So it's a little bit harder to find it on the instrument somehow. But yeah, I'm trying. I hope it's going to be successful.
Are you a member of the orchestra itself? Have you been playing with the
orchestra? I was the concertmaster, but then I decided not to play the Prokofiev in the rest of the program because of the 40 minutes of the concerto. So
thanks for bringing that up, because a director, the guest conductor this season, Andrew Kohler, wants us to mention that the second half of the program is the wonderful suite based on the ballet Romeo and Juliet.
Yes.
So terribly attractive music with lots of cool solo parts for everybody.
Exactly.
I'm speaking with Negar Afazel, who is was born in Iran and now is pursuing a degree at Western Michigan University. Did you put aside the music therapy degree for a while, or you did switch to performance?
Yes, I did. I mean, maybe one day I will definitely. Still love it.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
Any sense of what will happen after you graduate?
Well, yeah, I'm looking for, like, other schools as well, to just go farther and farther and find, like, meet more people, because it's music world, so you have to find maybe your people to have your group, or find some new ways. It's just an infinite world, I think.
Do you have any strategies, now having done this a few times, strategies for moving to a new place and getting yourself, you know, situated and rooted?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm used to it kind of now. I mean, it's so much fun, actually, to try find your way, and it's just you by your own. Like, now, especially, I'm like 7,000 miles away from my home, so it's like I cannot even make calls, like, easily, because the time changes and stuff. But it's really interesting. It's like you find your world, and it's just you, and it makes you really strong, I feel. Yeah.
Well, I wish we could talk longer about that. But we also have another soloist to chat with. And I would like to hear a little bit of the Tchaikovsky to whet the audience's appetite for this concert, which is Sunday at 3:00 in Miller Auditorium. Here's music from the second movement, Canzonetta, by Tchaikovsky for his violin concerto. And I did find a David Oistrakh recording.
Great.
Let's see how it sounds. That's David Oistrakh in a historic recording of Tchaikovsky's Violin Concerto in D. And you can hear a live performance from a concerto competition winner at Western Michigan University. Her name is Negar Afazel, and the concert is Sunday at 3:00. She'll be joined by two other winners of the concerto competition, Brent Procius and Caitlin Borky, who is the third to appear on the program and will be saving her voice for the first part of the concert. Caitlin, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Well, let me get your microphone.
Oh, nice to meet you too, Kara.
sometimes as a soprano or a vocalist, you know, you're side by side with instrumentalists all the time in the School of Music, but it must be strange to compete as a singer with other instrumentalists. It's everybody open. This is open to everyone.
It is. And it is very strange, but I can tell you that some of the best feedback I've ever gotten is from instrumentalists because they don't listen to the certain parts of the voice that vocalists obsess over, but they listen more to the musicality, which is really cool.
So they're using their instinct to say, is this communicating to mm-hmm. me? Yeah. Whereas, you know, diction and
yes.
language.
Yeah, exactly.
So who do you study with at Western?
I study with Dr. Ken Pruitt. He is wonderful. I'm really fortunate.
Are you undergrad or grad?
I'm an undergraduate in music education and German education.
And tell us about your musical background. How do you get into singing?
Well, I was a band kid from middle school on. I played the French horn, and I always wanted to be a band teacher since then. And then I joined choir, and then I thought, well, maybe I could be a choir teacher and a band teacher. And I realized that takes about 6 years of undergraduate study, and I decided to just go into choral music education. But before I attended Western, I was really fortunate to get a scholarship to study in Germany for a year, for a gap year between high school and college. So then I added the German degree on. And yeah, now I'm here.
Oh, what town or city was that in Germany?
Well, my first year in Germany was in a little town in Bavaria called Landsberg am Lech. It's like the most, it's so pretty. It has this like river running through it. It's a typical German town.
I know, it's sort of unbelievable if yes. you visit. It's like, is this a fairy tale?
Exactly, especially in that part of Germany. And then this past year, I was for a year in Berlin through a program through Western, which was very cool. It was amazing what it feels like to take a year off from studying music. I just did it for fun there. I took a lot of classes in German literature and didn't take a break from music, but it wasn't my main focus.
Mm-hmm. Did you still feel like you developed as a musician? Just being in that culture and...
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I was a part of two pop-up operas. and what that is that to gain more performance opportunities, people who've just finished their graduate degrees or even their undergraduates in Berlin, they would make these operas and fund them totally themselves and then just find a venue and just perform them.
Random question. Did mm-hmm. you get around on bike in Berlin mostly?
Yes. And also here when I can.
Uh-huh. Also here. Well, yeah.
I guess it's
snowy. Been a little while.
Yeah.
Plans for after you graduate. What are you thinking?
I don't know. I really love education. So I might just get a position being a teacher in Michigan or somewhere else in the U.S., or I might want to teach in Germany, or I might want to go into educational research or even singing. I'm not sure yet.
Did you say where you grew up, as where your family is? Or?
Oh, I'm from Alpena.
Alpena.
Alpena, Michigan, which is up north.
Yeah.
And I actually grew up singing a lot of country music and doing a lot of karaoke in whatever contest there was.
In working with Dr. Pruitt, what has he done to or required of you to grow and develop your instrument, the voice?
Well, I have a tendency to listen to myself too much, which is a problem for vocalists because our instrument is literally inside of our bodies. And so if we listen too hard and don't just go by feeling, then sometimes we get a hooty sound or a sound that is stuck inside of our own heads. And what he has really encouraged me to do is to just project and not try to sound like Anna Netrebko, but to sound like Caitlin Borky, which is a deep and bright sound, or at least that's what he tells me.
Well, our time together is coming to a close. I'd like to play a little bit of this aria from La Bohème, but first I'd like to go back around to everyone and just have some your final thoughts about Sunday's concert, what it means to you, or an appeal to listeners, or a thank you to someone that you'd like to acknowledge. And we'll start again with Caitlin Borky. Your thoughts on Sunday?
I am just so grateful and so honored that I can perform with the USO this weekend. And for me, the performing isn't so much about it's not about a celebration of myself, but a celebration of the music and trying to make that connection between the composer, the history, and the audience.
Nagar?
For me, it's like, I guess for all violinists, it's just such an honor and a dream come true to play Tchaikovsky Violin Concerto with an orchestra. And I'm so grateful for many people who helped me, actually. Professor Kinefik, Andrew Kohler. It's just going to be amazing. Yeah.
And let's hear from Brent.
Yeah, basically the same lines as the two previous winners. I just wanted to thank Dr. White for his guidance, helping me kind of get where I am at with it. And I actually came into the concerto competition with a mindset of hoping to get a chance to play with the orchestra for the music. I actually love this trumpet and orchestra duality that happens between the voices and stuff. And that was the hope on us. I'm just glad to be able to do the music honors on Sunday to be able to play such a great piece. So
I have a feeling this is going to be just totally memorable and I dare say fun. You all seem to be ready to embrace it. I hope you have
fingers crossed.
I hope you have a wonderful concert on Sunday.
Thank you.
Listeners, this is your chance to see young talent taking that big chance. Not many opportunities previous for them to solo with an orchestra. So it's a major milestone moment for these soloists. The orchestra is going to be sounding terrific under guest conductor Andrew Kohler. And the whole concert ends with that wonderful ballet, Romeo and Juliet by Sergei Prokofiev. So all of you, thanks and good luck on Sunday.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.